Last week we talked about tithes and how in our own, it's our responsibility of our own resources that God has entrusted to us to tithe off of that. So last week we looked at this and we said, well, you know, out of every $10, $1 already belongs to God. Don't you love my practical examples? That $1 is already God. So out of every $10 that's in your care or my care, it is already God. So we talked about the tithe last week. And we that's not ours. That's not ours to use for our vacation. That's not ours to use on the things that we want to do. It's already God's. God says, I'll give you all this. And every one of us probably is at a different level of what God has entrusted to our care. But God still requires the same amount from all of us, 10%. But when we start talking about generosity, we're not talking about what God has already declared His. We're talking about what God has already entrusted to our care that's ours. So out of that 90% that's ours, generosity is looked at to be what we would do for God out of what He's entrusted to us, simply because we love Him. So we talk about tithes and offerings. A tithe is already God's. We talked about that last week. Offerings is what's in our care that we would extend to God, extend to the ministry around the world that He has, that we love God so much that we would give of ourselves. Listen, 6 years ago, we were going to India, and we needed about $8,000 to $10,000 to go. And we'd raised some, and the church had given some. We were still a little short, so we would have to cut some things out that we wanted to do. And there was two people in this church that I knew, just from knowing them over time, that it was very difficult. One person wrote a $1,000 check for us to go. Another person met me in a parking lot and handed me $1,000 cash. And I'll tell you, in our church, they were not nearly the wealthiest people at all. And I was like blown away because of the generosity that God had put in their hearts for the mission that was there. And listen, it inspired me to be more generous. Because if I knew in their situation, their financial situation, their financial resources, they love God that much. Listen, to give sacrificially so that the ministry of the gospel that we were bringing over into India would go. And listen, I don't know how many lives have been touched over the years there. It's because of their generosity. So we have to evaluate and ask ourselves, out of what God has entrusted to us that's in our care, it's a reflection of how much we really do want to invest and spread the gospel. It's a reflection of, if we're the wealthiest nation in the world, what are we doing with our wealth? And what will it say about us? Will there be treasures in heaven because we were generous with what God has given to us and we've given to an offering? Listen, I can't tell you what to do. It's your money. You can't tell me what to do. It's my money. But it's when we pray and say, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do as an offering of generosity for the gospel of Jesus? What would you have me do? And you see, when God inspires you, you'll do. You'll give, and I'll give. You know why? Because we know God's got our back. God takes care of everything else. And we step out on faith, we give. A lot of people are very uncomfortable when I talk about money. It's not my favorite subject to talk about either. But you know what? When we turn to God's Word, Jesus never stepped back away from it. He preached the Word. He proclaimed the Word for everybody to ingest the Word and then to grow from it. If you have your Bibles today, turn back to 2 Corinthians. We'll hear what Paul says today about this generosity of giving, and to be joyful in it, that we have to give. Be joyful that we have to give. Martin Luther said it this way. He says, I have held many things in my hands and have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. Give you a little background on chapter 9. Paul is talking to the Christians in Corinth, and he brags actually about the ones in Macedonia who had supported his ministry, and they were sending money over to another church that was hurting very badly, and the people were in a destitute situation. So he was going to the churches who had resources, and not all of them were wealthy, but they had resources to send over to their brothers and sisters in another area who were hurting. And Paul begins to talk to them and tell them that, listen, you can trust what we're doing, and we're sending some guys over there to you to collect what you have given, but listen, give it with a joyful heart. And listen, there's anything I want you to know. I don't beg you for anything. It has to be from a joyful heart, because that's when it's Holy Spirit inspired. Because it comes from God knowing that we realize God's blessings in our life, and we give an offering out of that. So we begin reading chapter 9. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. You have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank you so much that you have blessed us financially in this great country. God, I see now why you have placed us in America, the wealthiest nation in the world, God, so that we may be a source that you use to be generous, to spread the gospel of Jesus around the world. God, I pray that you help open our hearts, open our minds, open our wallets, open our purses as you give us direction. Father, today, let us not be a greedy people. Let us not be a selfish people. Let us not be ones who look out just for ourselves. But God, let us look out for our neighbor. Let us look out for those who are in need, those who are destitute. those who are lost. Father, I pray today that you help us grow in the grace of generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there are four principles today of generosity which govern our Christian stewardship. So there's four principles I want us to grow from today we see in this passage of Scripture. And the first is this, is that generosity sets our financial priority. So when we make our budgets out, generosity ought to be a part of that budget. We see that generosity sets our financial priority. Every Christian has a mandate to generously sow our tithes and offerings into God's kingdom work. We see in verse 6, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly also will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So Paul is thanking the Corinthian church and these Christians for their generous support of him and his missionary journeys, which the Holy Spirit leads him to. But Paul also understands that there's a readiness that should all be in all Christians to grow in generosity. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, he says, for I know your eagerness to help, an eagerness to be generous. How many of us can say today that we are eager to help? You know what? A lot of times we're eager to help as long as it doesn't cost us anything. Let's just be honest. We're eager to help the neighbor whose house burned down as long as it really doesn't cost us anything. How many times have people called on us as a church or called upon me, Brother Kevin, so-and-so's house burnt down, and they here's the sizes of clothes. You know what most of the time we do? We go through our closet and find things that we don't wear anymore because we don't like it. Now, let's just be honest. But how many times would we actually pull out of our pocket and go down to one of the stores and purchase something that size for that person? You see, there's a difference between giving somebody our leftovers and giving somebody our best. That was free. It didn't cost you anything. See, he says, for I know the eagerness that you have to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since your last that you were in Achaia, you were ready to give, and your enthusiasm was stirred in most of them to action. And Paul comments about the generosity of the believers, igniting excitement to other believers to give cheerfully the word. Paul is kind of doing this. He said, listen, guys, in Corinth, I want to tell you about the Macedonians and what they've done and how they've helped these others who were destitute, and we've brought financial resources. Their generosity has really shown through over there. I know you can do the same. Paul comments about these who were generous. These believers support ministry through their tithes and offerings. Listen, over 35 times in Scripture, the term tithe appears to signify gratitude to the Father and one-tenth of our possessions. Over 35 times the word tithe appears. Jesus didn't back up away from talking about money. He didn't back up talking about tithes and offerings. Neither did the early church. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it and prove. Let me prove it to you. God challenges us to test him in our giving. Wait a minute. God is challenging you, Christian. He's challenging me to test him in our giving. So the more generosity that flows in us, and the more that we give to the Lord's work, it's amazing how much God really blesses us. Listen, I can go on and on and on. If I could start from the time I was very little growing up, giving testimony of the times I've seen God just intervene, 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 intervene. And it's amazing how God has blessed. And listen, there's people all over this church can give testimony of how God has intervened when they were faithful. Just being faithful in the resources that God has given to them. And God has blessed more and more and more. See, God challenges us. So his word commands us that we should act, that we should act obediently with our money and with our financial resources and our possessions. And when we do, God says our blessings will be great. The Lord wants to bless us for fulfilling the mission in the world through the resources that he's entrusted to our care. That God really, really, really wants to bless us. A lot of people say, listen, I don't tithe right now and I don't give offerings right now and I'm blessed already. That's a dangerous statement. Because where did your blessing come from then? Because if we're not obediently acting and following God, God doesn't bless disobedience. Let me rephrase that. God doesn't bless disobedience. Paul reminds the Corinthian believers that if they sow sparingly, they will also reap sparingly. So when we choose to act selfishly and withhold our possessions and blessings, we mirror that in our giving. Some years ago, there's Chinese farmers. I love this little story. Chinese farmers, they planted potatoes for a living. And they were growing nice, big potatoes. Taters is what we call them in the northern part of Paris. Right, Glenn? Is what we call them? Taters. They were growing nice, big potatoes. And what they did was, they wanted the big potatoes for themselves, so they started planting the smaller potatoes. Now listen, as an agriculture major, we begin to understand something. As a gardener, you know that too. If you continue to plant the inferior things, you will begin to harvest inferior things. So they were planting these small potatoes as seed back. Over years, the genetic makeup of those seeds and those plants begin to change. No longer were they harvesting big potatoes because they were keeping them to eat. They were not investing them back. They were keeping the best for themselves and just giving the leftovers for seed. Over a matter of just a few years, all their potatoes began to shrink inside. Year after year after year, potatoes kept getting smaller, smaller, smaller. So their harvest before long was only the size of marbles. Their potatoes were small. It's just the law of nature. And we can take this story and begin to apply it to our own life and our own giving. If all we do is give pocket change, listen, the blessing that you will get is pocket change. It comes back. What you plant, you will also harvest. The second principle we can learn: generous giving expresses gratitude to God. See, our generosity with our money and possessions to advance the gospel of Christ is an acknowledgement of God's divine blessing. So you see, when I tithe, that's God's already. I have no business holding on to that, taking care of that. But when I begin to reach in and pull out something from what God has put in my care, now the word is saying, listen, now you're showing how much you appreciate God, how much you really love God for the blessings he's given to you. Verse 7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly and or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, Paul holds these believers to the task of giving to the ministry for encouraging them with thoughts of reaping abundantly. Then he leads them to this understanding of their giving should be decided in their own hearts and followed through with action. I don't watch TV evangelists. Rarely do I ever watch anything on TV. You know why? Because I don't like the begging for money. I don't. And if I don't like it, I don't expect you to like it either. And what has happened is they've given ministry a bad name. They've taken a lot of things out of context and tried to apply it, and people flock in, and they'll raise $54 million for a jet plane, $18 million here and there, off of twisting Scripture around. I don't like that begging for money. And I never want you to think that your pastor's begging you. No, the Bible says it shouldn't be under compulsion. I shouldn't make you feel guilty. But you should respond with joy in your heart for what God has said, with the love of God in mind. I love God so much for what He's blessed me with. This is what I want to do. This is where we're at. I'm praying, and God has allowed me to see this growth in my life, and God has blessed me with this, and here's what I want to do. You and your wife decide. It's really that simple. See, Paul is not encouraging emotional giving to the minister. He is wanting believers to consider the goodness and the greatness of God and to decide on a sacrificial amount and give it with gratitude and a cheerful heart. Listen, emotional giving. You know what happens when you give emotionally? You'll have regrets, and I will too. If I could, with my words, just convince you to do something, maybe next month you're going to regret it. When we make emotional buys, you know, go to Walmart hungry and see how much useless stuff you buy and bring home. Why? Because you made a lot of emotional expenditures. Look at Christmas. Let's be real. How many times we buy stuff? Let me rephrase it. We buy junk because emotions. Where emotions are stirred, so we'll go spend hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars on stuff that's going to end up in the dump next year. I have a friend that works at one of the local dump sites. And listen, when Christmas comes around, the stuff that gets thrown away, so much, we're wasteful. Why? Because we make emotional buys. Paul, God's word is saying, listen, you should not give to ministry because of emotion. You should do it because you simply love God and be consistent with it. Emotional giving leaves people with regrets, and they miss the purpose of the gift. Yet when people prayerfully seek God and are led by the Holy Spirit with a thankful heart, He will give His blessings, and they'll be cheerful, and they'll want to do more because there's this excitement going on in them. We see in verse 12, in the service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions and thanks to God. We see the third principle is this, as I hurry. Planned giving exhibits spiritual growth. Planned giving exhibits spiritual growth. See, this disciplined discipleship reveals the spiritual growth of believers who honor God with their time, talents, and with their tithes. We see in verse 13, it says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in showing and sharing with them and with everyone else. So Paul told the Corinthian Christians that their service and their generosity proved themselves to be true believers. Why? Because they were doing what God had compelled them to do in their hearts. The Lord led them to do this. Followers of Christ, they financially met the needs of Paul and those other missionaries, and they sent monies over to those who were destitute, those who were hurting. Verse 11 says, and you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Because of your generosity, someone else in another country will be thankful. Someone else around the parish, someone else around the state, someone else around the world will be thankful for your generosity because a missionary was in their community. The gospel went to them. I was excited a few weeks ago. Because of your generosity, because you're supporting this church through your financial resource. You know, we can afford computers, we can afford cameras, some TVs. Not the best, but it's effective. There were over 2,000 people who watched Facebook Live. Tell me that's not an effective ministry. 2,000 during the week. The next week, it was right at 1,000. It's amazing the ministry that is going out to people who can't be with us. Some are working, some are traveling, some are on vacation, some are wherever. But they still pull up that phone and look and watch. It's because of you being generous. The gospel is going out. See, we should plan our giving of tithes and offerings through this disciplined giving. We demonstrate Jesus' lordship over our wealth and our possessions. See, giving comes from a heart that is saturated with the love of God and a passion to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Discipline in our giving flows from our faithfulness. Flows from our faithfulness. When we discipline ourselves month to month, this is what it's going to look like for us. We're with our husband, with our wife, and we're gathered with our family. This is what we're doing. Why? Because we love God. Look at what God has blessed us with. Look at the jobs that we have. And becomes a part of what we do. Brian Clough said it this way: no church ever has a money problem, only a faithfulness problem. Because God's people refuse to say, God, thank you for what you've blessed us in our life. And God, we want to give back to you just because we love you, just because we're thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says, but just as you excel in everything, Paul says, excel in the grace of giving. So the question really comes, will you cheerfully excel in the grace of giving of God's abundant blessings in your life? The fourth thing, and we're closing. Generosity connects people with Jesus. I don't drive a better car because you give. No one else is pocketing anything. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is spreading further and further because of what you do. See, the gift of possession of financial means provide avenues of opportunity for people to connect with Jesus and seal their soul for eternity. Verse 13 and 14 says this: for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God is given to you. Paul gives these Corinthian Christians the insight of the magnitude of the generosity in their lives and that the people that they're ministering to. See, these people were receiving the gospel of Jesus, and they eternally were grateful. Their eternity was changed completely because of God's people being faithful what God has placed in their heart. Listen, this very church, we contribute to missions and missionaries around the world. We just sent Brother Suresh and Sister Vani over to India this past summer. To India. And for 2 months, they ministered in different parts of India. Listen, there's a harvest that's coming out of that. There's pastors who are being encouraged. Listen, for Christmas, we have an India Mission Fund here. You can give offerings and gifts to that. We provide needs for orphans. We provide needs for some poor pastors over in India. And for widows, we give gifts to. They wouldn't have any gifts. But First Baptist Church and Revival for All Ministries partner together and do a wonderful thing in Wali Viru, India. We also support missionaries up in Alaska. We support Chris Kopp up in Galena, Alaska, and Scott Belmore and his family down in Anchorage, Alaska, on college ministries. We also do many community activities here, ministries. Listen, it's amazing what God is doing through you and your generosity here through this church. We also give to the cooperative program that sends missionaries around the world. We also give to other mission opportunities, Samaritan's Purse. Listen, there's so many that we're doing through. It's a reminder to us. It's a reminder to us that as we're giving and giving for what God has given to us in our generosity, that there's treasures and there's crowns and rewards stored up in heaven for us. And maybe someday, there was an old song that I remember back in the 90s that was sung. It was called Thank You. And the chorus kind of goes something like this. It says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. See, the story in that song is that one day when we are walking the streets of gold, some stranger will run up to us, a person we've never seen before. But now with the knowledge of where the resources came that led them to Christ, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to look at me and say, thank you for giving. There was a missionary in my community because of what you did. And I gave my life to Christ. How many of those led to Jesus will become pastors, and how many hundreds or maybe even thousands will be saved under them because of your generosity. You see, this is not a pastor that's saying, hey, you need to get this right. No, I want to give you the bigger picture of what God is doing through us. And listen, that ignites excitement. When we talk about a church building, a new church building, listen, that's just not to have more space. You know what more space means? More people. More people who can learn. More people who can be saved. More people who can grow. More people of our neighbors, our family members, who can be together with us, growing and praising God. That's what it means. A new building is a ministry. Not a monument. It's a ministry. We look at the things that I presented to you, the mission opportunities that are there, the Word of God going out. It all goes back to what will we do? Will we live in the grace of generosity? Let's pray together. Father God, today, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us with our jobs, blessing us with our retirements. God, we see we live in a world where things can be taken away very quickly. God, and I thank you for people who are faithful. Even when their bank accounts are not very much, they're just faithful. And they're storing up treasures in heaven. God, may we all live in this grace of generosity. Live in that joy of giving. Giving sacrificially, simply because we love you. God, we thank you today that you've opened our hearts and opened our minds to receive this message. Let us not walk out of here today shutting this message off, but God, understanding and Holy Spirit, teach us today. Maybe we sit down with our family and say, we have to do something. There are lost people around the world who need us to step forward. Have your way in our life. In Christ's name, amen.